This podcast is proudly brought to you by Adventure Professionals. www.adventureprofessionals.com.au.
For me, Mission Ridge and Brigade Hill, the whole Kokoda campaign, more people need to know about it. I know everyone knows someone who's trekked Kokoda, but to actually understand the stories of what these young guys did, it's harrowing what they went through.
They were staunch to the end, against odds uncounted, and they fell with their faces to the foe.
Welcome to the Kokoda Track Podcast, hosted by former soldier Glenn Azar. This is the place to hear stories from those who've trekked Kokoda and gain tips and knowledge about what to expect on the track or to relive your own amazing experiences. The Kokoda Track Podcast, keeping the spirit of Kokoda alive.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Kokoda Track Podcast. Now, first time we've done the podcast in quite some time, and I guess it's been a pretty hectic 12, 18 months now, and there's been so much uncertainty that we don't really know where we're going or what we're supposed to be doing. And so I thought I'd drop in and just give you an update as to how things are playing out at the moment. Now, I know we're all experiencing this at the same time, and if you're listening to this, you know, some years in the future, this is during the COVID times, I guess, and it is what it is at the moment, and none of us have much control. But to give you an idea and to give you some updates, we've had a lot of updates from the travel industry. We've got obviously professional travel industry bodies that we work within, and they've been talking to us about what's been happening and how things are progressing. And obviously they're talking directly with the Australian government, and who are then talking to international governments as we all try and work our way through what's happening with COVID. Now, what had come about with us earlier this year is that the Kokoda track would be reopened, and they were hoping by Anzac Day, but by February we were told Anzac Day was most certainly not going to be a thing, but they were very, very confident. In fact, they were talking as if it was already a fact that they would be opening a bubble between Singapore, PNG, Australia, a few different countries. And that included, obviously, the opportunity to go to PNG, Port Moresby, and go on to Kokoda. And that was supposed to happen on the 1st of July. Now, something pretty bad happened over in PNG. They've had a very good run so far as COVID's gone to this point. But one of their former prime ministers, and easily their most popular former prime ministers, Sir Michael Somare, passed away. And when he passed away, literally tens of thousands of people came down out of the hills and out of the villages from the highlands right through. And they're not getting the news. They don't really understand the COVID thing. And it's a part of their tribal culture to come down and pay their respects. And there was no way to control this thing or to stop this thing. And so literally tens of thousands, some estimations I've read as much as 100,000, have converged onto Port Moresby. Now, Port Moresby typically has a population of about 300,000, so it's a big number. They've came in, paid their respects to Sir Michael Somare, and through that process, there's been a COVID outbreak. Now, the initial numbers that I saw, they did 500 tests and 250 came back positive. Now, that's very significant, as we know, for those of us in Australia, how quickly things jump here. And so that has put everything into disarray. Now, we haven't been given any updates, but I can most certainly feel confident that the 1st of July will not happen, so far as the Kokoda track goes and PNG. And I honestly don't believe that 2021 is going to happen at all. Now, this is tough for us, for those of us that are booked on, and there are a lot of things going on, and I want to talk through a bit of that today just to give people some peace of mind and understanding of what's happening and the way things work with PNG and with overseas adventures, but also talk about the PNG people. So from my point of view, and I cannot speak for all companies, although I have spoken to a couple of different companies and just how they're handling the situation, but for most companies what happens is that, well, for all adventure companies, we took at 90 days out, normally you must have paid a deposit. Now, when we get that deposit, I don't know about other companies, some people use it to book flights straight away, some people use it to book ground operators straight away. I use it to book ground operators. So that goes straight over to Killer, my head guide, and the boys, and then that starts the process of him locking in spots. So that's why we make our deposits non-refundable, and we have quite stringent terms and conditions around that. It's not that we're keeping money in our bank. That's most certainly not what it's about. It's about the fact that we're making bookings overseas to get that sort of ball rolling. Then after that, 60 days out, you need to pay your balance payments for most companies. And then between 60 and 45 days out is when we make all of our payments. Now, for me, that means that I had four different trips on through the Anzac period alone. That means that last year when COVID hit, all of those were inside the 60 days, which means all of those had been paid to us and we had paid all of the ground operation over there, including Air New Guinea. Now, Air New Guinea themselves are holding $50,000 of mine, of the companies, for flights, and they're not giving us those flights back, obviously. They're just putting it in credit. But on the other side of that, they're charging us a fee every year that we don't use it because it only lasts for 12 months, that credit. So it's kind of a crappy situation, but that's the situation. I can't do anything about it. That's just where we're at. Now, ground operators have been paid. Now, Killer and the boys, obviously it's been a struggle for them not to have an income. So I elected to give them a whole heap of cash that we did have available to us, to keep them going for all of last year on top of what we'd previously paid. That I did that knowing that, 2021, we would quite confidently get off the ground and we would start getting all those trips back up and running, and we were still taking bookings, et cetera, and people are still keen to go. Long story short, as we know, 2021 has not turned out, it seems, any better than 2020 so far as travel goes. The boys are still not got much cash, obviously, because they expected to be up and working by now, and then we don't have cash just lying around either. And that puts us in a tricky situation. I spoke to another couple of companies who are going through similar things, whereby people are starting to say, hey, it's been a year, we can't really go on this thing, I'd like to get a refund. But the truth is, a refund's just not possible. And that's why terms and conditions are as tight as they are, because, these monies are paid overseas well and truly in advance. And so getting money back from third world countries, et cetera, is just about impossible to do. And so there's just no way that we've been able to do that. We have credits. What I could do for people and what I've offered to do, even though it's outside of terms and conditions, is I've offered to, when we do get up and running and people want to book your spots, obviously the money that's being held overseas and used in credit can just be transferred to someone else's name. And then when they pay, we could give people money back if they decide not to go, of course. But otherwise, it's just not possible to give people money back that you don't have access to at the moment. Now, I want to be really clear with all of the companies that I've dealt with, all the top-end guys that I know really well, is that nothing untoward is happening here. This is just the system. It's an unusual system that we've all been caught up in, or an unusual situation, I should say. But I know none of those guys that I know running the bigger companies are stockpiling money, most certainly. They're just trying to keep their boys, operational and at least surviving over in a very tough situation in PNG. And at the same time, trying to keep things alive at this end of the world for them. That doesn't take away from the fact that if you're someone that's got, money tied up in a trip that you're not able to take, that's pretty tough for you as well. And I fully, fully understand that. So those are our situations at the moment. We're all, battling the same. We're all in the same situation at some level. We're all battling the same storm. We might not be, in the same boat, but we're certainly in the same storm. And it's about trying to work our way through that. I know when we get up and running again, how much you're going to get out of your Kokoda Track experience, and it's going to be well worthwhile to you. I know that. But the truth is, we have to wait for that to happen. So I guess all I can do is encourage people to be patient. I've been doing this for a long time. I've personally done 79 Kokoda Track crossings. This will be last year was the first year I hadn't done a Kokoda Track in 18 years. This will be the second year and the only time ever I've had 2 years in a row not having done one since I started. So it's a tough experience for all of us. I know Killer and the boys are still kind of struggling over there, and we're doing the best we can to support them in whatever ways that we can. But the truth is that the adventure business for us is an overseas adventure business. We do very little stuff inside Australia. So it is really tough, and it's with great apologies that we can say that we're sorry it is the way it is, but we have no control over it. And I know talking to other companies, they feel the same way. Like, there's just been a real struggle for everyone. We will survive this. I know adventure professionals will. We've got good backing. I've got a couple of good business partners, and we're okay going out the other end of this. So you have no fear that a company like ours, and I don't think any of the bigger companies, your Getaways, your Kokoda Spirits, your Australian Military History Tours, any of those guys are still going to be around. If you're booked on with any of those bigger players, just know they will still be around. They will honour whatever that they've offered to you. They're good people. They're good operators. From that point of view, I guess as much as I can, I want to give you full faith and trust in them. And I hope that I'm right, but I certainly do believe that I'm right. And I know from my end with Adventure Professionals, everything we're doing is above board, is really making sure we do the right things by yourselves and the local people. And we want to get Kokoda back up and running as soon as we're allowed to travel again, get you out on this epic experience, make sure you get what you've paid for and you have that epic experience. But that's all we can do at the moment. So I guess I just want to jump in and give that update. And at the same time, I want to talk about the fact that I am going to commit to doing some more episodes, not weekly or anything crazy like that, but I'm going to start reaching out to people who have Trek Kokoda to have chats with them again to start getting the podcast up and running, just so that you've got something to listen to, so you've got something to look forward to as far as this adventure goes, and particularly because it is such a good one. And more than anything else, thank you for your patience. We've had such good support from the people in and around us. It's been just amazing, and I want to make sure that you understand that we're very thankful for that, because it is a tough time and it's easy for any of us to get, you know, trapped in the emotions and sort of go off half-cocked, and we don't want that to happen either. We want to make sure that this, as much as possible, remains a good experience once we finally get you over on the Kokoda track and you get to have that experience. And if anything, I think this will heighten that. So that's an update from me. If you want to get in touch, please do. glenn@adventureprofessionals.com.au. Even if you're with another company, drop me an email, ask me some questions. Happy to answer them on the podcast even, or to answer you directly and just try and allay any fears about what's happening over there as far as what is in our control. So thanks again, and I'll get on this show again real soon.
Oh, arise, all you sons of this land. Let the sing of our joys to be free. Praising God, there'll be joy still to be. Papua.
The bond between Aussies and the people of Papua New Guinea was forged in war, and it endures in peace. We've felt that friendliness, that special connection, in the comforting presence of our porters and in every small community along the Kokoda Track.
Papua.
Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in. It would be awesome if you'd share this with anyone you know that's going to the Kokoda track or that has been and has a keen interest in the track, its people, and those that choose to trek it. The pillars of Isharaba say courage, endurance, mateship, and sacrifice. Great words to live by, and this podcast will offer mateship and a place for those that live and love the Kokoda track experience. Until next episode, live a life that inspires you and those around you, and remember to take time out to think about what's really important. What's really important. What's really
important. Thanks for listening to the Kokoda Track Podcast. To get in touch or stay up to date, go to Kokoda Track Podcast on Facebook or email glenn@adventureprofessionals.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. Let's keep the spirit and the stories of Kokoda and the PNG people alive.